Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Gail and I have been watching a television program called The Unicorn. And I don't know if you've seen it or not. I'm not necessarily telling you should go see it, but or it's, you know, it's on Netflix or somebody. Because it's a little racy at times, but it's kind of fun. And it's about a real-life man. In the show, his name is Wade. He's a widower. His wife died young and left him to take care of two young daughters. And what's really neat about this family is they've got neighbors on one side with kids and neighbors on the other side with another kid, and all the children are basically the same age. And what's really incredible is that they share so much of their lives together. They're in each other's homes all the time. I don't think they even knock. They just walk in. They share meals at least once a day, at least the way it looks on the television program. And they just love each other. They take each other's kids to school. They help each other with homework. Where one parent needs to be gone, another set of parents will step in and take care of things. It's really a great example of living in community. And it's the kind of neighborhood I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, many years ago. And I haven't been able to find that kind of community since my childhood, because the world is just very different than it used to be. But it is the kind of community, I believe, that the church enjoyed in the first century. When we read in Acts chapter 2, 47 and on, we read about the church being in each other's homes and sharing meals and providing for each other's needs. It was really kind of a commune. I know that doesn't sound good in our society today, but that's what they were like. And they just practiced a thing called hospitality. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, share with people who are in need. Practice hospitality. The Apostle Peter also told us in 1 Peter 4, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then if you think that we're just talking about the church and it's just about Christians, the writer of Hebrews comes along and says this, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. So we're supposed to practice hospitality. We're looking at four key ingredients to have a vibrant church family. Last week, we learned about love. This week, we're going to be learning about hospitality. Let's pray together. Father, I just pray that you will help us learn today what hospitality is all about and why it's so important for growing the kingdom and for having a vibrant church family. Help us have ears to hear, and help me, Father, to present this word properly so that people can understand. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hospitality is defined as a friendly welcome, a kind and generous treatment of guests, friends, and strangers. It comes from the Latin word hospice, H-O-S-P-E-S. And hospice actually means in the Latin a visitor or a guest. And it's where we get words like hospital and hospice. So it all has to do with care for other people. And it kind of shows us the depth of what we're supposed to be doing. And the apostles, Paul and Peter and others, have talked to us about hospitality throughout the New Testament. Friendly welcome, generous treatment, receiving others with kindness. The opposite of hospice is hostis with a T. And we get hostility, and we get hostile from the Latin word hostis. So you can see it's immediately and completely opposite of hospitality. And here's a stark thought. If we're not showing hospitality, then we're actually just being indifferent to humans around us. And we're one step away from being hostile to people. the absence of hospitality doesn't immediately translate into hostility. There is that indifferent attitude that's in between. But we want to stay away from indifference for certain, and we sure want to stay away from hostility, so we want to be hospitable people. And Paul and Peter and the others have taught us about these things. Hospitality sometimes is confused too with just simple entertaining, feeding people. But I want to challenge that. I've had several Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners with family that I wish were not there. Anybody ever had that experience before? Things, it's just like, okay, can we get this over with as quickly as possible because I'm tiring of whatever. And I'm not the only guy that has a family like that sometimes. But the point is this. Just because we're sharing a meal together doesn't mean that the host is feeling particularly hospitable. We can be entertaining without being hospitable. To be hospitable is more than food, it's more than entertaining. And this is the definition we're using because we get this understanding from Scripture, particularly from the book of Acts. Hospitable means to open your home to people, to share what you have with people, to include people in your life, to invest your personal energy in other people, to make them a part of your family, a part of your home, and a part of your church, to include, to invite and bring people to church with you. Hospitality is a principal ingredient to have a vital church family, a vibrant church family. So how is it done? What do we do? How do we do hospitality? Well, let's look at the Old Testament for a moment. Hospitality is not found in the Hebrew language, so you won't be able to do a word search and find hospitality in the Old Testament. But it is inferred. It is kind of built in. In the Old Testament, what we find is that belief in God ran hand in hand with belonging to the community. It was all intermixed. Everything they did, all their laws, their church, their governance, everything was all part of the Jewish faith. And so belief in God and belonging to the community were hand in hand. Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Proverbs, Isaiah, other parts of the Old Testament talk about hospitality without mentioning the actual word. In Deuteronomy 10, we're to defend the cause of the fatherless, orphans, and widows. We're to love the aliens in our land, and we're to give food and clothing to people. In Proverbs 14, we read that he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for God. Whoever is kind to the needy honors God. In Leviticus 19, when an alien lives with you in your land, don't mistreat him. The alien living with you must be treated as one of your native born. Love him as yourself, because you were once aliens in a hostile land. So God told the Israelites they were to be a blessing to the nations. When he gave the covenant to Abraham, he said, you'll be the father of many people. He actually said the father of many nations. You'll have the land, the promised land, and your offspring will be a blessing to all the nations. And the word nations means ethnic groups. So all over the planet, Jews were to be a blessing to the nation. Well, they didn't really get that done. And so that job falls to us. The believers who are believers in Christ are heirs now of that promise, and we're to be a blessing to the nations. Hospitality was the social safety net that God put in place in the Old Testament. Even a religious act like fasting was always viewed in the context of faith and hospitality. This is what God said to us through the prophet Isaiah. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves in ashes. That was what they would do to show that they were pious people. They would punish their bodies with horribly fitting and scratchy clothing. Is this what you call fasting? God said. Do you really think this will please the Lord? No, this is the kind of fasting I want, God said. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free. remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless and give clothes to those who need them. And don't hide from your relatives who need your help. So I will have to start inviting those people back to Thanksgiving dinner, clearly. Hospitality to the Israelite people was clearly a matter of faith because God wanted them to show hospitality to one another. There were no hotels, no motels in those days. If a traveling businessman came through a city, he would knock on somebody's door and say, "Hi, I'm from the tribe of Reuben. Are you from the tribe of Reuben? Because I need a place to stay." And if that person, you know, the homeowner was from the tribe of Reuben, even if they did not know this relative, they would say, "Yes, I'm from the tribe of Reuben. Come in. I will show you hospitality. You have protection of my roof, and I will feed you. Come and dine with my family." But here's the neat thing. Even if that family was not from the tribe of Reuben, they would think, "Okay, do I know any Reubenites in the city? No, I don't know any Reubenites. Son of Abraham, come under the protection of my roof. Come and dine with my family, and I'll give you a place to stay." Even if they were not related at all. If a Levite, who was of the priestly class, came by, they would always open their door because the Levites had no land. They had no cattle, no sheep. No, I don't think anybody. Anyway, I was about to say pigs, but nobody had pigs in Israel. They had no share. Yeah, just don't tell Pastor Bob I made that mistake. But they had no share in the land of Israel. And so they couldn't, you know, afford to do anything. So you would welcome them into their homes, make sure that they were taken care of. Nobody had strangers were in your home all the time. It was a matter of survival. If people didn't open their homes, a traveler would starve to death or get attacked by wild animals or die from exposure. It required that a guest could come in and say, "I need something to eat. I need a place to stay. Will you bind my wounds? I've been wounded." And the family would absolutely do it. We read many times about this hospitality code. In Genesis 18, some of you are familiar with the story. Three strangers came by to Abraham's tent, and Abraham saw them coming, and he said, "Please come, sit in the shade, and I will have water brought so that you can will wash your feet for you to cool you off in this heat." And he turned to Sarah and said, "Sarah, please make bread for our guests." And then he had the fatted calf killed, which was a special treat. And he provided this sumptuous meal for these strangers because that was the law of hospitality. We read in Genesis 19, the same three strangers now go to Lot's house. Lot was Abraham's nephew, lived in the city of Sodom. And Sodom was a rough place. These three strangers, who we now know are angels, but these three strangers come, and Lot offers the protection of his roof. And the angel said, "No, we're going to stay outside here in the city square," because they knew it was about to happen. And Lot said, no, you must come in. I will take care of you." Well, during the night, a mob formed. They wanted these three men. But Lot had guaranteed them protection under his roof. Near Eastern hospitality said that the host would rather give his own life than allow his visitors to be injured. We just don't hear about that stuff in today's society. Lot offered his teenage daughters to the mob because he had an obligation to protect his guests. It was at the very core of hospitality that people would take care of people, strangers included, enemies included, because that was to show love for God by showing love for other humans. So from a social perspective, God used hospitality as a security net. There were no safety nets, no welfare, no unemployment insurance for people. So they would go to their neighbors and ask for help, and they would get help. From a faith perspective, God had the Israelites use hospitality as a way of showing God's love to people. So that same mentality from the Old Testament made its way into the New Testament church. So let's talk about the New Testament church. We see two things emerge from in the New Testament church. First of all, the gospel. The good news that Jesus came to die in our place, to take away the penalty of eternal death and replace it with the gift of eternal life. That is a new thing in the New Testament. The other thing that's new in the New Testament is this thing called the new community, the church, the way we live together. Acts 2, perfect example. All of Acts, perfect example of how the church is to function as a community. So in the New Testament church, what we find is that hospitality points people to Jesus, and hospitality meets people's needs. And so we have an obligation. Which sounds more exciting or more productive and caring? If I just tell you about Jesus and say, why don't you come to Jesus and he'll save you from your sins? That's evangelism, but it's not very caring. But if I say, please come to my house, come and share a meal with me, I want to talk to you about my Savior Jesus, and then I want to take you to church with me, that's more caring and inclusive, and that's hospitality. Paul says, share with those who are in need, practice hospitality. Peter says, show hospitality without grumbling. Writer of Hebrews says, because you might be showing hospitality to angels and you're unaware. So those New Testament examples show us a little bit about what hospitality is, but Jesus is the best example. Jesus was a host. He fed crowds who did not make provisions for their food. When they came to him to hear him teach, they were going hungry, and so he shared food with them. The night he was betrayed, he was hosting a Passover meal. After he was resurrected, he walked on the road to Emmaus with some disciples. He kept his identity hidden from them, and they only understood who he was when he shared a meal with them and broke the bread and shared it with them. And they said, ah, that's Jesus. In John 21, we read an account of when Jesus, after his resurrection, was standing on the seashore. And the disciples had gone back to fishing, and they weren't having a very good luck at it. And so he said, throw the nets on the other side, you'll find more fish. And they did. So they knew something was going on with this guy on the shore, and they came to the shore. And Jesus had fixed fried fish and fried pan bread to share with the disciples. Jesus knew how to use food to show hospitality. I did say it's not about feeding, but food is a great tool. Jesus was also a guest. He repeatedly enjoyed the hospitality of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at their home in Bethany. He would invite himself to people's homes, like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Levi, the tax collector, invited Jesus to his house and invited all of his tax collector friends, and they had a big party. Jesus was invited to the feast at Cana, which we believe lasted for over a week. So Jesus knew how to enjoy hospitality in addition to showing hospitality. But one of the best examples of hospitality is when he shared this story. And he talked about, in Matthew chapter 25, what will happen when he comes to take his throne as the king. And all of us are going to gather in front of him. And he's going to say to us, come, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And we're going to turn to him and say, but when did we see you? Hungry, and give you something to eat. Thirsty, and give you something to drink. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in a prison and visit you? And Jesus is going to say to us, if or when you did these things to the least of these, you did it to me. We don't want to be those people who say, well, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty? Or naked, or sick, or in prison, and failed to help you. And Jesus is going to say to that group of people, if you did not do these things to the least of these, then you did not do it for me. Jesus is letting us know that hospitality is linked to what he has done, and it's linked to us doing it for the least of these in our world. So, what are we to do today? Well, first of all, we're part of the New Testament church. We're not in the third era. We're in the New Testament church. So all the things we read in the New Testament informs our behavior. A friendly welcome, a kind or generous treatment offered to guests or strangers. That was our definition. Opening our home to people, sharing what we have with people, investing our energy and our lives in inviting them to be a part of our family, our home, and our life, and our church. We do these things for one major reason, and that is because Jesus did it first. God loved us first. 1 John 4:19. We're simply following his example. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 explains that it wasn't very long ago that you and I were messed up, mired in a stagnant form of living. And so I want to read this to you from the Message translation. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief, then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it. All of us were in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper with us and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, loaded with immense mercy and an incredible love, God embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did it all on his own, did not need any help from us, with nobody pleading for him to do it. Then he picked us up and he set us down in eternal life in the company of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And now God has us right where he wants us. With all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us through Christ Jesus. That's hospitality. And God did it first. And here's where the rubber meets the road. God calls each of us to join him in his work. Whatever it was that God was doing through Christ, he now has given to us. We know that in 2 Corinthians, God who reconciled us to himself through Christ gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the ministry that Jesus was doing of reconciling people back to a lost people back to a loving God, that's our job. And we do that by inviting and by including. God's hospitality and care for the lost is now our responsibility. Opening our home, sharing who we are, sharing what we have. And the driving force behind all of that is that God did it first. So I know there are concerns. But Pastor Marty, my family is more important than other people. In the first service, we did not have the hymnals and the Bibles in the pews, but the Stump family put them in between services. So don't throw them at me when I say these things. Okay? Your family may come first, but in Christ, your family is not more important. This sounds harsh, so bear with me. The greatest commandment says, love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say love your neighbor after or in second-rate fashion to how you love yourself and your family. It says, as you love yourself. And so we really do need to love people as much as we love our own family. It's a hard teaching, but following Christ is hard business. Okay, so if I open my home, my family will suffer. Maybe, maybe not. Let's think about this teaching. Jesus said this in Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things will be taken care of. So, let's work on seeking first the kingdom. But our family's calendar, Marty, our family's calendar sets the priorities for our life. That's great. It's important to have a family calendar. Gail and I have two family calendars. Mine is on my phone. Hers is a paper one. And when she enters something in the paper one, it does not translate to my phone. And so I most of the time don't know what she's doing. I think she does that on purpose. But the point is, having a family calendar is important. But it is not the thing that sets the priorities for your life. The thing that sets the priorities for your life is your faith in Christ. And sometimes we have to put other priorities second. Well, Pastor, I already have way too much to do. How can I be hospitable and include others? Again, no throwing. But may I respectfully suggest in all love and care that if you're too busy to do the things of God, you're doing the wrong things. So you need to change your schedule and your priorities. Growing in faith is vital, and helping others grow in faith is just as vital. So let's consider doing the things that Jesus did and spurring one another on. And these are the things he did. He invited people. He brought people. He included people. He shared meals with people. He met their needs. He took time to listen. He loved unconditionally. He gave positive affirmations. And he provided assistance when they needed assistance. So in the Old Testament, we see that belief and belonging were one thing. In the New Testament, we see that the gospel and the new community, the church, wanted to help people find Christ and meet their needs at the same time. Today, we need to share our homes and our lives and open our families and our church up to people. And sometimes that means not only inviting, but going and getting them and bringing them with you and including them in the life of the church. Christ followers that embrace hospitality not only reflect God's character, but they're actually involved in the kind of community that God created us to live in the beginning, way back in the Garden of Eden. A loving community where we loved Him and we loved each other, and we're very slowly getting back to that. And the church is supposed to be the prime example of how that's done. So let's work very hard on hospitality, being intentional about it, including others, bringing them with us, opening our doors to our homes and to our church, because that's the only way the world is going to see that we really care. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for this, for these teachings, these lessons on hospitality from you and from Peter and from Paul and others. We just pray that you will help us embrace this, not run from the responsibility, and not water it down to just having meals together. We can eat together, that's great. But to actually invite and include, to bring people with, to open our entire lives up, even to the stranger, yes, even to the enemy, because that's what you've called us to do. You called us to love, and now you're calling us to be hospitable. And we will do it to bring you glory. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.